Guillermo Marquez Sterling was a public school teacher in South Florida for several years. Now with advanced degrees in theology and public administration, he became a pastor at the United Church of Christ in Coral Gables. He says he's worried Amendment 8 will redirect funds away from public schools. But he's most concerned that if it passes, if tax money could fund religious organizations, religious institutions like his will actually lose some of their freedoms.
How does this infringe upon the separation of church and state, which is a separation that benefits both the religious institution and the state? Do we want the government, the state government, telling religious institutions what to do? I don't want the work of the church corrupted by the interest of the state.
The legislature drafted Amendment 8 to remove language in the state constitution that says taxpayer money cannot be used for the direct or indirect aid of any church or religious organization. Those who like Amendment 8 say the ban is a state-level Blaine Amendment, a law some claim is rooted in anti-Catholic history. The Blaine Amendment was meant to keep taxpayer money away from religious groups, but it also singled out Catholics. This is why the Catholic Church is one of the most vocal proponents of Amendment 8. The Archdiocese of Miami, in particular, has contributed thousands of dollars to a campaign aimed at getting the measure passed. Its Archbishop, Thomas Winski, says if the ban remains, the church's partnerships with the state could disappear.
The work that Catholic Charities has done throughout the state of Florida for so many years is in jeopardy. The work that our Catholic hospitals do in this state of Florida is in jeopardy. The work that our Catholic nursing homes do is in jeopardy because an activist court could read into the Blaine language of the present state constitution a mandate to eliminate all types of funding to religious or faith-based groups that are given for secular purposes.
The Catholic Church in Florida receives hundreds of thousands of dollars every year from the state for secular services such as health care. And Winski says a Catholic charity that helps prisoners in the state is currently under attack by a secular group because it gets state money. He says this incident and others is why Amendment 8 is needed.
This amendment says that we're going to honor this longtime partnership between faith-based groups and the government. Why do we need this amendment? Because we think that that partnership is under assault today.
Florida International University Honors College Dean Leslie Northup teaches religious studies and is an Episcopal priest. She says the Archbishop is wrong about Florida's ban.
This is not the Blaine Amendment.
Northup has worked with the ACLU of Florida on issues of religious freedom. The ACLU is one of the biggest contributors to a campaign working to defeat this measure. She says this is about finally getting the state to contribute to religious schools.
This amendment is aimed primarily at producing the possibility of state taxpayer funding being used for the purpose of sending children to religious schools with state-paid vouchers. This way of framing it as religious freedom in a rather confusingly worded amendment that most people probably won't understand but appears to support religious freedom is actually a con job.
But some experts say that's simply not true. John East is the policy director for Step Up for Students in Tampa, a program that provides tax credit scholarships to K-12 students who come from low-income families. He says the law standing in the way of widespread voucher use is not the state's version of the Blaine Amendment.
So in my judgment, what you've seen is a fairly big disconnect in this debate between the people who support the amendment, who generally are trying to protect social services that are delivered by religious providers, and those who have formed to oppose it, who say they are trying to stop the spread of vouchers.
East says a constitutional obligation for the state to fund its schools is what really stands in the way of vouchers. Pastor Marquez Sterling says regardless of the school funding issue, if the amendment passes, religious groups will have to ask themselves tough questions.
Our faith community is supposed to be providers of those services. Is our role and our identity changing? Is this going to redefine us as to why we exist?
The Public Education Defense Fund recently gave $1 million to the Vote No on 8 campaign, and civil rights experts warn voters that Amendment 8 is unconstitutional. I'm Ashley Lopez in Miami.